beautiful old hymn there. When we compare the wondrous cross to everything else, all pales in comparison to what Jesus did on that cross. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to Revelation chapter 20? We're going to conclude our teaching tonight on the judgment seat of Christ and the great white judgment throne. We've already studied a lot about the judgment seat of Christ. And just before the holidays, we were studying about this great white judgment throne, which just quickly I want to add, or want to bring out one more time, the judgment seat of Christ is for believers only. And it is only a judgment for rewards done for Christ in this life. It's not a judgment on whether you're going to go to heaven or hell at the judgment seat of Christ. No. No, it's Christ judging his church and his workers on the quality and on the motive of their service and handing out rewards for that service. But we've been studying about the great white judgment throne, which is a place to be feared. Although it's important we need to bring out again tonight, all believers will be at the great white judgment throne. We will be merely observing the judgment at the great white judgment throne. So before we go any further, we're going to pick up there with that thought. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege of opening your word. And Lord, I ask as always for the Holy Spirit to come and to open up this word to us tonight. For him to teach through us and to open our minds to the depth and the wonder of this beautiful word. Let everything we say and do, Lord Jesus, bring you honor and glory. It is your glory that we seek. It is you we seek to magnify tonight, Lord Jesus. And we know the Holy Spirit will help us to do that. Bless the teaching of your word now and anoint us with the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. So now let's go to verse 11 of chapter 20. And John the Revelator writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them." We touched on this verse just before the holidays. The idea here is the whiteness of the throne speaks of the purity of the judgment of Almighty God. And when the Bible tells us that heaven and earth fled away from it, the idea that the Holy Spirit is putting forth here is that the horror of this judgment and the power of it is so great and so awesome that heaven and earth can't hardly stand before this great white judgment throne. That's going to be the awesomeness of what's about to take place. And now look at verse 12. And before we read verse 12, I want to bring this out. We've often heard it asked by unbelievers, and maybe sometimes even a believer. Why doesn't God do something about all the evil on this planet? Why doesn't God do something about starving children in the world? Why doesn't he do something about all the unjust wars and all the atrocities in this world? Well, he's going to. He's going to. We're about to read about it. We're about to read about it. You see, the problem is, man in his pride wants God to operate on man's way of doing things. He wants instant judgment. He wants instant putting, so to speak, in the spirit realm. And like, if God's not doing it on my timetable, if he's not doing it the way I think it ought to be done, then there can't be no God. He really don't care. No, no, no. No, no, no. God is eternal. God deals in the realm only of eternal things. And we're about to read, God's about to do something about all the evil that has ever been done. I want you to think about that. That's what makes this great white judgment throne so awesome and so horrible in scope. And that God is going to do something about all the wrongdoing that's been done from the time of Adam and Eve right up to this point in time at the great white judgment throne when it occurs. Bear that in mind. That's what's going on. If anybody ever asks you that question, well, why don't God do something about all this pain and suffering? You say, he's going to. But he's just not going to do it in the time you think he ought to do it in. He's God. He's going to do it in his time, but rest assured, it is coming. Nobody's going to escape their wrongdoing. Nobody's going to escape the evil they've done. So this judgment we're about to see, unlike the judgment seat of Christ, this judgment is against those who have rejected Christ. Those who time after time have come to church, heard the message of the cross, heard about Jesus, but yet refused it. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I said, Lord, do you really want me to make a statement this bold? And I believe the Holy Spirit directed me, said yes. It would be better for you not to continually sit under a truthful gospel and keep rejecting it. You'd be a lot better to not sit under it. Because all you're doing is heating hell up for yourself. Amen. Good morning, huh? That's all you're doing. Once you have had the privilege of hearing this glorious message, God has fulfilled all obligation to you. He owes you nothing else. He doesn't owe us anything anyhow. But he is totally justified at that point in time. And to keep to set under it and just to keep rejecting it and keep living how you want to live, it would be better for you not to keep setting under it if you're not going to receive it. Now, I know that's a bold statement to make, and you may think, well, Pastor, what about that poor sinner? He might get saved one day. Well, he might. But to consciously and willfully set continually and reject Christ, it's a very, very dangerous thing. And it will be paid for at the great white judgment throne. So, okay, Lord, I've said what I felt you wanted me to say on that. Let's go to verse 12 now. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead. This is everybody who has died without Christ. This is everybody who has died outside of faith from the time of Adam to the point of this great white judgment throne whenever it takes place. Okay? That's the dead that's being referred to here. Those that have died in Christ have already received their eternal reward. We will be at this great white judgment throne. We will be there. And I'm going to take that as a confirmation to the message I just spoke. Oh, that's the phone out there. But in any event, this judgment is against those, this dead are the dead who died without Christ from the time of Adam and Eve on. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Here's the fulfillment of Scripture. I believe we touched on this before our Christmas break. Every sinner will walk in and stand before a holy God at this great white judgment throne. And they will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, as the Bible says. Now, it will not bring them salvation to confess it at this point in time. There is no salvation at the great white judgment throne. But what they are doing is totally vindicating God in his righteous judgment and wrath that is about to be poured down upon them. That's what's transpiring here. It's in effect the sinner who's heard the gospel and rejected it, walking in before God and in effect telling God Almighty, I chose to have my life judged by the law. I thought I could be good enough on my own, God. And in event, that's the essence of what will be being said to God at this point in time. I rejected your salvation in Jesus. I said I want to be judged according to the Ten Commandments. And God will honor that choice. But then he will then remind those at the great white judgment throne who have rejected Jesus, you did not keep my commandments. You're not holy enough to withstand my pure judgment of your own volition. There's sin there that has not been eradicated. Therefore, you're going to confess to me that I'm perfectly just in condemning you now to an eternal hell. Now that's how God will be justified in the sight of all. We'll be witnessing all this. And all the dead, the Bible says, And we talked about this a little bit again previously. God knows where every molecule of every human being is. People are going to be given at this time a body just for judgment. Just as the believers are given a glorified body that's going to last forever. All the dead are going to be given a body at this time just to face this judgment, this great white judgment throne. Think of the awesomeness of this. God knows where every molecule of their bodies are, and they'll come back together. God will call them back together and give them a body to face this judgment. It's awesome to think about, isn't it? It's mind-boggling to think of the horror of this. So he sees all the dead. That means all the despots, all the evil people throughout time, small and great. And this is speaking from the perspective of men. Great leaders who were evil. Saddam Hussein. Adolf Hitler. And I'm talking about great in the sense of they're evil, not great in their lives. They'll all walk in before Almighty God and we'll watch it. Aren't you looking forward to seeing some of them have to face this? Let's be honest. For all the meanness and all the evil they've done throughout history, this time, Caesar will stand before Christ. The first time, Christ had to stand before him. This time, he will stand before Christ. And they will all confess. They will all have one confession. Jesus is Lord. God, your judgment is just. I deserve the punishment that is poured out upon me. Okay, he says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. What books? Every evil deed and every idle word that an unrepentant sinner states or every act they commit, God has it recorded. Think of that. Even down to the smallest detail, it's recorded. Praise God. But there is one way to get all that wiped away and clean, and that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get all the, praise God, to get all the wrongdoing erased. And it can be done through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but that's the only way. And that's why those who reject Jesus Christ, when God's record books are opened at this great white judgment throne, and there is no salvation here, this is a judgment reserved for the evil, those who have rejected Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So here at this, mankind is judged by one of two things. Either the grace of God and the work of Christ on the cross, or by his own efforts and by his own works. And man's own works do not meet the holy standard of a thrice holy God. That's what the scripture means in Romans 3:23 when it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. No man through his own effort, through his own works, meets God's standard of righteousness. But praise God, through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ, all of mankind's wrong is wiped clean. And man is given a standing in Christ with God as if he never sinned, as if he is as holy as Jesus Christ. Man, that makes Jesus sweet, don't it? Hallelujah. But at this judgment, these people rejected Christ, and in their rejection of Christ, and when anybody rejects Christ, again, they are electing and ultimately saying to God, I want to be judged on my own effort, on my own works, because I think I'm good enough to meet your standard. And mankind will find out, those who have rejected Christ at this great white judgment throne, what they thought was good enough was not good enough. Man, unregenerate mankind always attempts what's called relative righteousness. In other words, it would be like, I'm going to pick on you tonight, Helen. You just happen to be sitting in my eyesight. Helen's one of the godliest women you'd ever want to meet. But let's just say, you know, Helen says, well, I know I've lied and cheated, but I'm not as bad as Charles Manson. I didn't kill 7 people. Or I'm not as bad as Saddam Hussein. I didn't do anything like that. Won't matter. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of mankind needs a Savior. And there is only one Savior. And it's not Buddha. And it's not Mohammed. And it's not chanting a mantra. It's not joining a Catholic church and telling your sins to a man who wears his collar backwards. There is salvation only in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. My Lord, if you don't get nothing else out of this tonight, I know you've heard this 1,000 times. Get that. Get that. Get that, because you don't want to be standing at this great white judgment throne. Now, the judgment seat of Christ, all of our motives as believers we've talked about will be revealed, which that's scary enough. That's scary enough, ain't it? But we'll still go to heaven. We may not get as big a reward if our motives were wrong, but you still make it to heaven. There is no salvation at this point. The dead are raised, and they're given a body for judgment just for one reason, to walk in before God and vindicate him before the entirety of the universe, and every living soul who has ever lived will be at this great white judgment throne. We, the saints, will be in glorified bodies observing, but all the dead throughout history who died without Christ, and in effect, this makes everybody, do you see this? This is everybody who has ever lived is going to be at this great white judgment throne. Every human soul that's ever drawn a breath is going to be at this great white judgment throne. You'll either be as an observer, as a believer in a glorified body, or you will be as one of the recipients of God's holy eternal judgment. That's what this great white judgment throne is. And think about it. Bodies being, well, let's read on. This is what verse 13 is going to tell us. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. People whose bodies were on the Titanic, who have long since been eaten up by seawater and their bones eaten up, God is going to call every molecule of those bodies back together for them to stand before the great white judgment throne. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. In other words, people in the graves are going to be resurrected with a body to face this judgment. People who have died previously and died lost in hell and have already suffered for God only knows how long are going to be called up out of hell to go to this great white judgment throne. Think of that. It's mind-boggling. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. That's the second time the Holy Spirit emphasizes. All of these people standing before the great white judgment throne of God, of their own volition, said, I can be good enough to meet your standard, God. You see, mankind doesn't see it that way. When you reject Jesus Christ, which is God's only offer and only hope of salvation. What Jesus did on the cross is God's hand reaching out to mankind, saying, I will provide you salvation if you'll do it my way. But I will only provide this salvation based upon my way. You don't get to cut a deal with God. Who is man that he thinks he can deal with God? Well, God, I'll serve you if you'll do this. Well, God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll serve you. That's foolish thinking. That's silly thinking. He's a holy God. He can take anybody's next breath that he wants to take. Judged according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell at the conclusion of this judgment. The Bible tells us, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. when mankind right now, before this great white judgment throne takes place, anybody who dies right now, their spirit goes to one of two places. If you're in Christ and your faith is resting exclusively in his precious shed blood and what he did for you on the cross, you're immediately translated into the presence of God in heaven. But if you have lived a life devoid of placing your faith in Christ, your next conscious thought is the torment of hell. Now that's the first death. That's the first death. But this Bible refers to this as the second death. Being given a body to face this judgment. And then being cast in to the lake of fire. And notice the Bible says death and hell will be cast into this lake of fire. After this point in time, there will never again be no such thing as dying. It'll never be again. Hell, we will never be conscious of hell anymore. Earlier in this chapter 20, we've already seen Satan cast into this lake of fire. He will no longer be able to exert any influence anywhere in God's universe. All these things will now be passed after the great white judgment throne. And hopefully you see the difference, and as we've studied these, you've seen the difference between the judgment seat of Christ and this great white judgment throne. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers only. And it's not a judgment on whether you'll go to heaven or hell. Our faith in Christ and what he did at the cross guarantees us heaven. But if you reject Christ, not only will you die once and suffer for a period of time, you'll be resurrected in a body again to face this second death at the great white judgment throne. I tell you, God's a God of great grace, but we must never forget he's also a just God and he's a God of great judgment also. And he will judge according to his perfect will and perfect way, which is always just and always fair. His character can be trusted. But know this, God is going to do something about it. God is going to do something about all the wrong and all the evil that's gone on since the Garden of Eden forward. There's coming a day he will deal with it. And everybody will know it. Everybody who's ever lived will see it happen before their very eyes. That's awesome, isn't it? Okay, let's read verse 15 and then we'll be done. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God's ultimate judgment. You might say, Pastor, how do you get your name in this book of life? Only one way. There's not a myriad of ways. Let me first tell you how you don't get there. You don't get there by trying to be good. You don't get there by relative righteousness. Well, I went to church on Easter and Christmas, and I tried to be good. That don't cut it. That don't cut it with God. Nobody can be good enough. If mankind, if anybody ever born, even one person could have been good enough to have met God's standard, Christ and his horrible suffering would have been totally unnecessary. But that's what made the cross necessary, was all of mankind, every soul ever born, needs a Savior to save them from this horrible judgment of God. You say, saved from what? Saved from this horrible judgment we've just read about, that all who leave this life without Christ in their heart, without their faith in what Christ did at the cross, they will face this judgment of God. But the Bible says whose names were not written in the book of life. Once your name is in that book of life and it gets put there by placing your faith only in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. That what Jesus did on that cross is sufficient to make us holy, to make us righteous, and to make us sin-free in God's sight. That's the only way we can escape this great white judgment throne. There's not a number of methods of escape. There's only one method of escape. That's why Jesus That's why Jesus came and did what he did, to save us from this great white judgment throne. I know that as he hung on the cross that day, with his precious sinless blood flowing out of him, that he was looking mentally down through the eons of time. And I literally believe this, that he could literally see every person who was going to accept what he did there. I believe that. I believe he could literally in his mind see every person who was going to reject it. But he still went ahead and did it for them anyway. But he knew for those who would receive him and his sacrifice in our place. You see, that's what the cross was all about. The cross was the judgment of God, equivalent to this great white judgment throne being poured out on his son, instead of fallen man who will accept what Jesus did on that cross. And that's how you get your name in God's book of life. It's called the Lamb's book of life throughout the scripture. And those with their names in that, in other words, in essence, what that is saying to God, these people met God's standard of holiness. These people met God's standard of 100% perfection. These people met God's standard of sinlessness. How? Not through our works. Not through our works, but by faith alone. By faith alone. And the object of that faith being Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. It's going to be an awesome thing to witness. Praise God, we'll be there. We'll be watching it. Those of us that have our faith in the precious shed blood of Christ, you don't want to be there on the other side of this great white judgment throne and face a second death, because it is coming. If you're not right with God, if you're not right with God, get right. And you say, how do I get right with God? Put your faith in Christ and what he did for you on the cross. That's the only way anybody can be made right with God. That's the only way anybody can be delivered from sin and the powers of darkness. You can't get it by going to some church, shaking a preacher's hand, having somebody dunk you in water, confessing your sins to another man, going through a 12-step program, and on and on and on. One way, Christ and him crucified. Any questions now that we've concluded? You can go back over the previous 5 or 6 weeks on the judgment seat of Christ to this great white judgment throne. Mahari. Well, they'll be destroyed earlier in this chapter. It's mentioned. Even after the 1,000-year reign of Christ and mankind experiencing a perfect worldwide government, a pristine planet again, there's going to be another rebellion. Satan's going to lead another rebellion. At the end of that 1,000 years, the Bible says he'll be loosed for a short season. And he will lead innumerable of people astray again, making them think that he is going to take over this planet and take over the new Jerusalem from which Christ and all the saints of God will be ruling and reigning. And at that time, once he makes that effort, God destroys him, all those people that are rebellion, and it shows you the evilness that's in man's heart, that even after 1,000 years, Mahari, we brought that out when we were teaching that, even after 1,000 years of Christ ruling from Jerusalem, and this world being in a beautiful, pristine state, man still rebels against God when Satan makes the offer. A large number, 2/3 of the human populace on earth at that time, rebel against God and follow Satan in an attack on the New Jerusalem. So at that time, that's when Satan, the false prophet, and all the demons of hell are cast into this lake of fire, and they will have no more influence ever again in God's universe. That answer your question? And you can read about that earlier in this chapter 20. Just read the whole chapter and you'll be able to follow just what I told you there. Anybody else? Any question at all on this topic? I think it's been a great topic. You've been great, showed a lot of interest in it as we have taught it. I'll get it out. But it's been interesting to teach, to be honest with you. It's not a subject that's taught on often. And I hope you know now, I used to think, like I told you when we started teaching this, that the judgment seat of Christ and the great white judgment throne were just the same thing. You know, and I heard one preacher over TV the other day preaching it that way. And he terribly misconstrued the judgment seat of Christ with the great white judgment throne. I mean, he had Vince totally out of kilter on what was going to happen. But I hope you've learned something. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Any other questions or comments before we're dismissed tonight? All right, would you bow your heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I feel we would be remiss tonight were we not to offer those who would be lost an opportunity to move from the death and the judgment of God that they're under to having their name written down tonight in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm asking you, between you and the Lord right now, with no one looking around, I want to ask you this question. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you left this world tonight in some way and stepped off into eternity, where would you go? Is your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, or are you rejecting that? And in essence, telling God, you want to be judged according to your works. You've seen the results. We've just read it of what God's word. You don't have to take my word for it. The word of God says what will happen to those who by their own volition, God will honor your choice. But those who of their own volition make the choice to be judged by their works, you'll face an eternity of torment. But to those who will place their faith in Christ and what he did on the cross, you will have your name written in this Lamb's Book of Life. Are there any here tonight who would say, and I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, Pastor, I'm not right with God. I need to put my faith in Christ and what he did for me on the cross exclusively, or I need to come back to that. I've drifted from it. Are there any at all by uplifted hand who would say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Anyone? All right, would everybody please stand then? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of reading and studying your word. Lord, we thank you that in your word, everything is revealed unto us. And Lord, I just pray that as we're living out the last of the last days of this planet, Lord, we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We don't look to politicians. We don't look to Washington, D.C. or to Wall Street. Jesus, you are our caregiver. You are our Heavenly Father, Lord God. And we know you'll take care of us. Let that peace permeate our hearts. Let the peace of that knowledge permeate our hearts. Let the peace of the glorious future we have in Jesus Christ penetrate our hearts tonight. And that will in turn give us great joy. We give you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, and our coming King, all praise, honor, and glory. Amen and amen. Let's give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God bless you so much. Hope you enjoyed being in God's house tonight. You're dismissed.